In yesterday's shiur, we went through different psukim and divrei ayomim, which show that from the very beginning of the split of the Aseres HaShvatim, already in the time of Asa, as well as Chizkiyo, there were certain groups of the Aseres HaShvatim that joined the Malchus Yehuda under the kings of Yehuda. They joined Yehuda and Binyamin. And therefore, even if the rest of the Shvatim went into Galos, there were families of different Shvatim that actually stayed under the kingdom and the rulership of Yehuda. We are now going to fast forward a few generations. And if you look on your right side of the page of the kings of Malchus Yehuda, after Chizkiyahu, who was one of the greatest Yiddish kings that lived, to the extent that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Eibishter wanted to make Chizkiyahu Moshiach. So you always have the pendulum of history swings back and forth. Chizkiyahu's son is one of the greatest Rishoyim of all time. He is the famous Menashe, terrible Rasha. What Chizkiyahu did in Kedusha, Menashe does in Avodah Zarah, terrible things, ruchnistic things that King Menashe did. It's hard to even understand the taiva of Avodah Zarah. But anyways, Menashe brings Yidden back to a terrible place, Biruchnias. Then he has a son. He has a son, Amoim. But if you look on your paper, you see that his rulership, his being a king, lasts like a year. He dies very young, and that makes his eight-year-old son become king. Now this boy grows up to be King Yoshiyahu. King Yoshiyahu, he actually is a melech for 30 years. He was a king for a very long time, and he accomplished quite a lot. When I was researching Yoshiyahu, it comes out interesting that from all the Malchus Yehuda, he's the only one that Lahavdil, the world records, don't have mention of him. And all the other kings, there's certain mention in other cultures about their interactions with the Yiddish kings. For some reason, Yoshiyahu is not there. But he was a king for 30 years. And an interesting story happens in the middle of his leadership. And this is the story we're going to talk about today. He decides, in order to, so to speak, be in the graces of the Eibishter, that he's going to do renovations on the Beis HaMikdash. Right? He's going to make the Beis HaMikdash by his rishon more beautiful. And they start fixing up the Beis HaMikdash. In the course of their excavations, digging, fixing that they're doing, they find a Sefer Torah. Small Sefer Torah. And there's a whole discussion. People say that was the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they're expecting the Sefer Torah to be holding on Bereshis. That's where Sefer Torah is rolled to. But when they open up the Sefer Torah, they find it in the middle of some of the curses. And the pasuk that sticks out right when you open up the Sefer Torah is that basically you and your children are going to go into Golos. And he's not sure, is that a reference to him? Is he basically, is Malchus Yehuda over? Is that it? Is he going to be the last king of Yehuda? Is the Eibishter really upset about him? And he wants a Navi to tell him what is going on. What's this pasuk? What's the Eibishter's Ratzon over here? So the pasuk tells us that he sent a message to the Nevi'a Chulda. Chulda, there was a famous prophetess, a female Navi, Chulda HaNevi'a, which interesting because you have in Bayesheni, on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash, you have the Sha'arei Chulda, the gates of Chulda, which people say that Chulda HaNevi'a sat there, but historically it's hard to understand because she lived in the time of Bayis Rishon. So exactly that shot, I don't know. But anyways, unless she was really Ma'irich Yomim. But anyways, this is the story. He sends a messenger to Chulda. Now we're going to take a step back. And we're going to enter the Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalit on the base. The Gemara records this story, and the Gemara asks a very strong question. Here's the very important part. The Navi at that time was Yirmiah. He was the Navi. He was the ones prophesizing about the Chorban. He actually writes, people don't know this, that the whole Eicha, which is the Chorban bias, was said by Yirmiah before the Chorban. He was telling Yidden what they're going to be saying if they don't do tshuva. The whole Eicha was written before the Chorban. But anyways, the Gemara asks a question. How is it shayich that Chulda gave Nevius if Yirmiah was the main Navi? Frekti Gemara Kasha. So the Gemara answers, Chulda Kroivas Yirmiah Hoysa. She was related to Yirmiah, and Yirmiah gave her Rishus to give Nevuah even though he was the main Navi of the time. Good. Now let's go to the second line. Here's the main thing. V'yoyishi agufe heichi shavik Yirmiah meshadid legabe. How did the king have the chutzpah to ask the question from the woman and not Yirmiah? Forget about how she gave Nevuah because she got permission from Yirmiah. How was the king allowed to ask the Shaila about the Sefer Torah from her, from Chulda, and not from Yirmiah? That's the question. So the Gemara gives two answers. The first answer is given from Reb Shila. Reb Shila says that when it comes to Nevuah, there is the actual message from the Eibishter, but then there's also the tefillah of the Navi. If the Navi is giving a bad Nevuah, but the Navi davens, then that could actually elevate and help the thing not happen. Being that Noshim Rachmoni is hey, being that women have mercy, he thought he would get a better tefillah out of Chulda than he would out of Yirmiah. She has more Rachmonis. If she would give a bad Nevuah, she would daven for him. So he went to her instead of Yirmiah. Okay, that's the first answer. But where our main inyan is regarding the second answer. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Yirmiah lehave hasam. Yirmiah was out of town. Why did he go to Chulda and not Yirmiah? Because Yirmiah was out of town. Now, what was Yirmiah out of town for? What was he busy doing? What was Yirmiah doing that he wasn't there? Look what the Gemara says. Shahalach lahachzir aseres hashvatim. He was on a campaign bringing back the aseres hashvatim that were sent into Galus. Here? We're talking about Yoshio is king approximately 100 years, 90 years after the Yidden have been sent into Golus. And Yirmiah went around and started bringing them back. So he's like the Gemara. The Gemara says, shocked. He says, how do you know that Yirmiah, how do you know that the Aseres HaShvatim came back? He says, a very simple raya. The raya is that the Navi tells us, he's complaining to the Yidden, what's going to happen if there's going to be a Chorban bias? He says, if there's going to be a Chorban, says the Navi, then we're not going to be able to keep Yoivul. We're not going to have Yoivul. We're going to lose all the dinim of Yoivul. Now, in order to keep Yoivul, you have to have Kol Yoishveha Aleha. You have to have members of, at the very least, members from Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So why is the Navi crying about what's going to happen? We're going to lose Yoivul after the Churban, seemingly we lost Yovel way before all the Yidden were sent into Golos. We already didn't have Kol Yishvel Alel. The Gemara says it's a raya that there were Yidden from the Aseres HaShvatim that were stayed, and not only those that stayed, there were those that were brought back by Yirmiyah. So it comes out that many, many of the Aseres HaShvatim, the ones that were not sent all the way far to Sambatyan, all the way to the other side, which we'll talk about in the coming Shiurim, Yirmiyah brought many of them back. This is what the Gemara says clearly. And therefore, today, it's obvious that Yidden, which exist today, can be a descendant from any Shevet, because Yirmiyah brought back many of the Aseres HaShvatim. Now, what's the story of the Sambatyan River? That we'll talk about in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.